What a joy to be asked to bring the message this morning. I'm going to take my glasses off because I am nearsighted, so I do that so I can see you, but I won't be able to read this if I have those glasses on. Brother Brian, thank you for the opportunity. Anytime a pastor lets somebody else stand behind the pulpit, that's nervous because he's never heard me preach, I don't think. He's heard me on the radio, and I'm sorry for everybody for that disappointment and what that experience is like. I've been there. I've been on both sides of that, but I've been disappointed what pastors look like too. I'm not saying anything about this one. That was not meant for this one. But this bit of message I have been kind of focused on for a couple of years because we live in anxious times. And this was really, this testimony for me was born out of a very anxious time in our life. My grandson Titus is closer now to 6 years old than he is five. He turned five this past May, and so I guess he's closer to now being six, and he's just an amazing kid. But he came into this world really, really early at 24 weeks gestational. He was a micro preemie, what they call a micro preemie, and I haven't told this story in so long. Correct me, babe, if I get the measurements wrong, but he's like 13 inches long. And he only weighed a pound, 10 ounces? Is that before or after they took the 4 ounces off of his lungs?
He was a pound, 13 ounces.
Okay. So, little bitty. If you have a 32-ounce drink, I think that's about, that's twice, or it's half again as much that he weighed. Any case, it was a nervous time. We weren't expecting that. I got called. I was actually on a golf course with some kind of a men's group, and the guy came out there asking, "Is there a Dave Taylor here?" And I'm like, "Okay, this is never good." Nobody comes out and disrupts or interrupts a golf game, and it is ever good that I've experienced. And then sure enough, found out that our daughter-in-law was in labor, and I'm like, "Well, this can't be. This is way too early." In any case, we go up to the hospital. We're praying with her. And we're praying for, "Lord, please just stop whatever is going on. Please let Titus stay in Mama's tummy. We know that's the best place for him to be, safest place for him to be." And pretty soon it was pretty certain Titus was coming. And so they shooed us all out of the room, and we began to pray in a very intensive way. I'm going to tell you, I have prayed a lot. I have prayed a lot in my life. Bible college student, so I prayed a lot over some exams. And then just in life circumstances, pastored for just over 9 years in Chandler, Arizona. Came back to Missouri, thought that pastoring would be a part of that, but ended up being the radio station. And I've been praying for longer than I can remember. But I'm going to tell you, my testimony is I never prayed like I prayed those days. There's something different happened there in those days. And it's right at the heart of this text that I want you to turn with me to your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Anybody been anxious lately? Come on, don't you be fibbing. Everybody is anxious. I don't care what persuasion you are. We're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into the dividing thing, okay? You may be blue, you may be red. I don't care what side of it you are on. Everybody's a little anxious right now about what's going on. I appreciate what Brother Brian said, that, you know what, nothing in this election decides who's in charge in heaven. That was not up for vote. God is still the creator of this universe. He is still the Lord sovereign. He is plenty aware of what's going on. How prayer impacts that, or it has any kind of a bearing on this, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know all the ways. I wish I could tell you I knew exactly how prayer works into it now, because we prayed before the election. My wife and I, we pray before we vote. We pray for a direction what we believe to be a godly way. Ironically, both sides will say that they're thinking they're obeying God in this. I'm not going to question. I'm just saying, measure it by the Word. What does the Word say? And to me, it's pretty clear. And having said that, how does prayer impact things now? I think now is probably even a more important time to pray than before. I mean, if we were praying for direction before the election, I mean, there's a lot hanging in the balance in here, depending on your opinion and what you believe God is wanting to do. So if you're there, if you turn to Philippians chapter 4, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I appreciate the generous allotment of time. I was told I had 90 minutes, something like that. Is that true? I want you to read with me the first seven verses of Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech ye, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And the focus of our time this morning here in verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. Let me just put the word anxious in there. I'm reading from the King's English, but if we said it today, I wouldn't tell you. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I would tell you that that's hard living. It's hard living. Let's pray and thank the Lord for this instruction and the hope that we have to overcome anxiety, okay? Lord, we love you and thank you for the hope, the blessed hope we have in your Son, Jesus, that has overcome our greatest enemy, sin and death. And I pray that today, though many anxious hearts may have entered into this place, that we will leave rejoicing in you, thankful in you, and at peace with you is our prayer. That's our hope. And we thank you that that's possible because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us on that cross. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Just quickly this morning, because some things we get most anxious about is a long sermon. That nervous laughter tells me it's true. It's true. You notice my buds, they're like at the wings just so they can sneak out, you know, without being seen by a whole lot if it gets that long. Be anxious for nothing. That's the problem. The problem is we're all anxious about something. If you have ever had a teenager get their driver's license, you were anxious. Anytime you have done anything and you have put anything at risk, there's some anxiety in that. So we have got to confess right off the bat, straightforward right now, that we all disobey verse number 6. Okay, so I'm looking at a bunch of sinners in this room that need the encouragement, because that's a human predicament. I don't have the foreknowledge of God. I don't have his sovereign ability to see everything in advance, see how it's going, where it's ending up. I don't have that. So I get a little bit anxious. I get just a little bit nervous. There's a Russian proverb that says, fear makes the wolf bigger. Okay, so yeah, it's fear the wolf, but your fear, you can actually make that obstacle a little bit bigger. And we don't want that. We don't want things to get worse. And so the antidote, the problem is we all get anxious. And this is an anxious time. Anybody that says any different, they're not being honest, because we all want what's best for our country. I hope everybody in here wants what's best for our country, because what's best for our country, you know, though it starts at, whether it's on Wall Street or Pennsylvania Avenue, it ends up on my street, affects my street. So I am concerned. I want what's right. Can we just agree on that? Whatever shade of color you are in the whole thing, can we just want truth of it? Can we just get a good, confident truth? If we had that process, that we could know that and be confident in, I have a feeling that still 50% of America is going to be unhappy no matter how it's all resolved. It's going to be just kind of right down the middle. So we got a lot of praying, a lot of healing. And I really do think this passage could be a healing force in our country. If we would all just take God's advice, and instead of worrying, instead of wringing my hands, I know some people that are just nervous wrecks. They're just anxious. This thing's keeping them up at night. I have pillowed my head very well. Thank you very much. I have not been nervous about it. I just believe God's in control. Do I have a preference? Absolutely. But the antidote to the problem that we're all anxious is right here, that we go to God in prayer. We have a relationship with the Heavenly Father that brings the peace that we so desperately need. Would you agree with me? This world needs peace. America needs peace. When Iran, the country of Iran, is taking a shot at us at our election process, that I'm telling you, we're in bad shape. When Iran, the country of Iran, is picking at us for the way we do elections, we're in bad shape when that's happening. So we just need peace. So what's the path? What's the path we take to peace? We know the problem. We're anxious. That steals our joy. That steals our peace. And right there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, but in everything by prayer. That's a general statement. Prayer, that's just the essence of us getting together, us taking this opportunity we have as a child of God to go to our Heavenly Father. Supplications, that's really specific items. When I'm praying a supplication, y'all have a prayer list in this church? I'm sure you do. That's your supplication list. That's your supplications right there. You number them. I am a believer in numbered prayer. We saw that with Titus. As soon as he was born, we were just like, what are the major markers? You know, we're talking to the doctor. What do we want to see? We got this test coming up. We got this, and this. The blood oxygen's got to be between certain windows. Which, by the way, is an amazing thing. Did you know you can have too much oxygen? I did not know that. In the times that Deb and I would sit up there with him in that neonatal intensive care unit, they monitor the blood oxygen. They don't want it getting too high. I didn't know that. I didn't know you could get too much oxygen. But if you get too much oxygen, as a baby especially, it could blind you. Did you know that? I'll just give you one case of such. Stevie Wonder. That's why he is blind. And so we're watching how fearfully and wonderfully we're made. We're watching and learning just amazing things about the human body and just how important it is that we get that 9 months in. And when you're robbed of that, it takes an army of people to make up for what mom just does, watching her diet, taking care of herself. It's quite a deal. So we started praying specifically for what's the big three? What's the big three for Titus? Because I was out there, I was on a prayer vigil. I was casting it out there. I'm a believer in prayer. I want people to be praying for my grandson. He's the most prayed for person on this earth that I know. Because we had everybody around the world praying for him. And I'd give the three. This Saturday, he's got this test, and his number needs to be this, and this is coming up. We need a good result on that test, whatever the three were, the most important three things. Guess what happened? One by one, each of those specific prayers were answered. Now, listen, don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted. We have modern medicine. Most of these kids don't do very well. Most of these kids in Titus's situation do not do really well, but he did. I was just so very thankful. Now, he's got his challenges, don't get me wrong. He's got some cerebral palsy issues he's dealing with today, but I'm telling you, he is a miracle boy, and I believe it's because of the power of prayer. So we were supplicating. We were supplications. And then, don't leave out this next week. We're on the season of Thanksgiving, so this really kind of jumps out to us. It's one of our Thanksgiving verses. With Thanksgiving, always be grateful. Be grateful to God. That's the heart essence of prayer, our gratitude to Him, knowing that He is a good God, He is a good Father. There's got to be some good coming out of this. So God, I'm thankful for whatever that is. I'm going to promise you, in the fog of that birth, I didn't know what that would be. I had no idea. But I prayed with faith, believing God's a good God. And no matter how this story goes, God's always still good. We have a lot to be thankful for. And then this next word, this request, I was just blessed with this week, guys. I was talking with a guy who had been through a really tough ordeal with a prodigal son, just got out of jail. And he brought something to my attention about this next word. It says, let your request. Now, I kind of always thought that was like my petition, my request, kind of a redundancy, if you will, to just tell us to have a request. That's the only time that this word is translated request in the New Testament. Other places, it's translated desire. Let your desires be made known to God. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What is your heart desire? What is your heart desire? I don't want to say that I didn't pray wholeheartedly, but I can tell you, I guess it's really the confession. I've prayed for a lot of things. I've prayed for a lot of people, a lot of friends, but I have never had a more wholehearted prayer than when I was praying for Titus. And God knows the difference between you're just bringing a list and you're bringing a desire of your heart. It's a challenge. That's a challenge. That has meant a lot to me in how I've prayed since. I believe God knows the difference between just reading a list and what really means something to your heart. That means let your desire, what does your heart want most out of this? And if I delight myself in the Lord, that means I'm staying close. He is my joy. I see Him at work in my life always. If I will rejoice, help me with the word that just flew out of my mind. If I'm close to the Lord, Psalm 37, if I delight myself in Him, He will give me the desires of my heart. There's a play back and forth there. Do you really delight in the Lord? Now listen, that next verse is really important. Verse number 7 says, Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you ever prayed for peace in a situation? Oh, Lord, we need your peace over this situation. You got a squabble going on in the family, whatever the situation is, and you are just at disrest. You're losing sleep. You need peace so you can get a good night's rest, whatever the situation is or the circumstances. A lot of us have prayed for it. Maybe we didn't use the word peace. We just asked for God to please make this right. Please settle this. What we're asking for is a peaceful resolve. And we're asking for the peace of God. Who is that written to? Let's play our Sunday school real quick. Who is this letter written to? Anybody? Anybody? Just shout out. The church at Philippi, right? It's written to the church. These are the people who have already made peace with God. Do you know the difference? There's a distinction. To make peace with God means to agree with God that I need His salvation, that I am lost without Him. Without Him, I have no hope. I'm adrift and sin's having its way and ultimately will have my soul. But when I make peace with God through the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace, His Son, Jesus Christ, I agreed with Him that I need His salvation. I am lost without Him. And that if Jesus didn't die for my sin, wasn't buried and in the ground, lay there 3 days, rose again the third day according to the Scripture, I would be lost still. But because I have laid hold of that truth for my life, that I have believed in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and will confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Bible has a real special word for that. It says, you will be saved. Saved. You'll have made peace with God. That is prerequisite to being able to ask for the peace of God on your life. They are two different things. Peace with God is, I've got that relationship thanks to His Son, Jesus. The peace of God is His peace on me to override any circumstance, to get me through any circumstance with a confidence that He's got this. And I say that as wildly as it might go, and as against what I want to happen if this election might go, I've got a peace. God's not ignorant of it. He's not blind to it. He knows what's going on, and somehow, some way, it fits into His overall scheme. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that peace? Everybody in this place today can experience it. Truly can. That's a promise that every believer can lay hold of. That comes back to the question, then, am I a child of God? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I one who has made peace with God? And my hope is that every soul that leaves this place today has made peace with God and experiences the peace of God on your life. We can't help but be anxious. Cannot help but be anxious. Titus got to go home from the hospital 2 weeks before he was due. He got to go home 2 weeks before he was due. And he's doing so well. So thankful that through that we could experience God's peace through that circumstance. And I'm going to tell you, whatever the circumstance is in your life, you can experience that peace too. I don't have the exclusive call for the use of Philippians chapter 4 as available to you too this morning. My question to you is, have you made peace with God? And if not, today would be the best day ever to do that. Just to surrender. Just take Him up on His offer of salvation, how He did that for you. And if there's a situation that you're wrestling with, you brought in, you carried this anxiousness, this anxiety in the door with you, you're nervous about something, have an altar. We have an altar to pray and beg the peace of God. If you're a child of God, you have this altar. And I pray that you'll walk away feeling that release of that load, that you can experience His peace. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for just a moment? And the guys are going to come up. We're going to sing a song that has been encouraging the church for a long time, 150 plus years. You're familiar with it. Horatio Spafford lost his four daughters at sea in a shipwreck. And he was crossing the Atlantic to collect his wife, the only one saved out of that tragedy. And he was told that he's in the vicinity of where the ship went down that took his family. And I wouldn't blame him one bit if he went to the deck of his ship, shook his fist at the heavens, just mad, upset because life didn't give him what he thought he deserved. It wasn't just. It wasn't fair. But instead, Horatio picked up a pen and wrote these words: "When sorrows like sea billows roll, I can say it is well with my soul. The peace of God." Peace of God. You can't buy it. He's given it to us freely.